Thank you, Brother Chandler. And now, brethren, in closing this service and opening the next, may we sing the first and last verses only of Appendix O, Trust and Obey. Appendix O. Obedient children, we come to thee, asking thy help. We pray, dear Father, that thou wilt grant us a rich indwelling of thy Spirit, that we may be more active in thy service, that we may say and do those things which are pleasing in thy sight. And help us, dear Father, to ever keep very, very close to the Master, that we may hear his voice. Now, as we continue our service this afternoon, we pray thy blessing upon our dear brother Purdue. Wilt thou give him words of wisdom? Wilt thou give him the bread of life to break unto us as we further wait before thee? In Jesus' name, amen. And now, brethren, we have a very large subject to be covered in a short time, but I assure that our dear brother Purdue will give us some mighty good thoughts to work on while we're at supper time and from sometime on. His subject is cause for gratitude, and we know we have great cause for that. So we ask Brother Purdue to discuss the matter now.
Dear brethren, I am very happy to bring to you the warm Christian love and greetings from your brethren of the St. Louis Ecclesia, that wonderful little class in St. Louis, Missouri. I didn't expect to be on the program this year because when I received an inquiry from the secretary of the convention committee, I replied telling him of the improbability of my being able to attend and to please not to assign to me any place on the program. But here I am by God's grace, and I am very thankful. All the dear brethren whose privilege it is to serve want very much to use their valuable time, consecrated time, to say something that will, of course, be to the glory of God and helpful to us in making our calling and election sure, and certainly something that will help us to a greater appreciation of God's great love, as indicated in the wonderful, precious promises he's made to us, and by the grace wherein we stand. And how best to accomplish this becomes a matter of much prayer. There are, of course, many things that could be said, many messages from God's Word that should accomplish this, and the brethren who have spoken have done just that, and in a very beautiful way. And those to follow, of course, will do the same. But for my part, I kept thinking of how greatly blessed we who have the light of truth are. The thought came to me that I could best accomplish my purpose by emphasizing our cause for gratitude. For so often we fail to realize or to fully appreciate the wonderful blessings that are ours. I think of the hymn we so often sing, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done." I think sometimes it would be to our good if we would sit down frequently and count the blessings that we are enjoying. I think we would be surprised. And so I prayed that the dear Lord would bless my words to that end. And certainly, one of the causes for gratitude is the privilege of being here with so many of life's precious faith. As you know, the whole world has been and still is in a state of darkness and unbelief to a remarkable degree. And one of God's holy prophets, the prophet Isaiah 16, verse 2, said, "Darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people." And today in the so-called Christian world, how very little is known about God and his wonderful plan for the ultimate blessing of mankind. Practically nothing. Jesus said, "No one knoweth the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son is pleased to reveal him." And that's Matthew 11, verse 27, in the Diaglot rendering. "No man knoweth the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Father is pleased to reveal him." Has the Son revealed the Father to us? Well, dear brethren, I'm sure we know that he has. And what a cause of far gratitude. The Father has been revealed to his people at the end of this age through the light now shining upon the precious word of truth with the unfoldment of his wonderful plan of the ages. Yes, in this harvest period at the end of the age, when, as our Lord promised, he would at his return appoint a wise and faithful steward or servant to give to the household of faith the meat in due season. And dear brethren, has there been an appointment of a faithful and wise servant to give to us the meat in due season? I'm sure we all know that there has been. And that is one positive proof of our Lord's return. Because that was one of the things he was to do on his return, to appoint that faithful and wise servant. And dear brethren, how rich has been the meat served to the Lord's people. And so closely identified was our Lord at his return to be with that faithful servant of his own appointing and the giving of the meat to the household of faith, that our Lord referred to it as he himself girding himself and coming forth to serve them. A very remarkable timing and relationship. And what a blessed privilege it is to sit at the Master's table and be served by him, our returned Lord and Head, through the instrumentality which he has chosen, that faithful servant. And to have the Father so clearly revealed to us as a God of love and whose mercy endureth forever. What a cause for gratitude is this. And David's psalm of praise, Psalm 145, has become so much more meaningful to us. And we too can say, "Great is the Lord, Jehovah, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." We can speak of the glorious honor of his majesty and of his wondrous works. Yes, we can speak of the glory of his kingdom and talk of his power. And it is our blessed privilege to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. How wonderful, dear brethren, to be living in the last days of this gospel age. And surely if we are of the blessed ones, whose eyes can now see and whose ears can hear, then we can appreciate the words of the angel of the Lord to the beloved Daniel. Oh, the blessedness of him who waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. And recognize the unfoldment of the divine plan as evidence of our Lord's second presence. And surely this is great cause for gratitude. And dear brethren, contrast, if you will, the light of present truth shining into our hearts and minds, and the marvelous revealment of the Father to us, such a wonderful God and loving Heavenly Father, with the darkness that now covers the earth and the blindness of the learned leaders of Christendom, some of whom are now telling their flock that God is dead. It is very evident that the Son has not been pleased to reveal the Father to them, but on the contrary, as the Apostle wrote, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. They are not the kind the Father is now seeking as a bride for his glorious Son. And having the Father revealed to us should cause us to feel very humble and grateful, for we should not forget that this is evidence of special grace. And this surely is cause for gratitude. For as the Apostle Paul reminds us, at one time we too were in darkness. He tells us in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, the first 6 verses, we also were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past we walked according to the course of this world, the spirit that worketh in the children, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But, continues the apostle in verse 4, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ. Certainly, this is cause for gratitude. And says the Apostle Peter to the elect church of God, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. 1 Peter 2:10. And in the preceding verse, verse 9, Peter tells us of the wonderful position the Lord's people now occupy. You know it well, but just listen to these words again. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. They diagnose, translate this, a people for a purpose, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a wonderful place, dear brethren, we now occupy in God's great love. Yes, in the love and in the plan of him who has been so marvelously revealed to us by the Son, our dear Lord Jesus. And surely this is great cause for gratitude. And dear brethren, I do not know how much we all appreciate this, but what a wonderful privilege it is to go to the throne of grace and to be able to address the great Jehovah, the great God of all the universe, as our Father. Yes, our Father who art in heaven. And surely this is great cause for gratitude. And the Apostle John refers to this glorious relationship with God, who is now our Father, and it appears so wonderful to him that he seems to exult in the very thought of it. And we hear him exclaim, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. What a wonderful relationship with the great God of the universe, and what a cause for gratitude. I sometimes wonder if we fully appreciate the glorious relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, and with his Son, our dear Redeemer, and our elder brother, and that we rejoice as we should in this great relationship. There's no wonder that the Apostle Paul, who understood so well and appreciated this relationship, admonished the saints, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. How much we have to rejoice over. Philippians 4:4. And dear brethren, in this world of darkness and blindness and misunderstanding, I think so often of the words of Jesus addressed to his disciples and to you and to me also. And I repeat them many times to myself, and I often call them to the attention of our little class so that we all may keep them fresh in our minds, because they are so very significant. And these are the words of Jesus. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And what a blessed privilege this is, dear brethren, and what cause for gratitude. Sometimes we may be inclined to just take the precious truth for granted and fail to fully realize the marvelous grace that has been extended to us, indicated by the anointing of our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, with the eye salve of meekness, consecration, and submission to the divine will, that we may see the divine plan in all of its beauty and grandeur. To be of the called ones according to His purpose, God's great purpose, His great plan. To be assured that all things are being made to work together for our good. And be able to recognize the invitation extended to us to enter the race for the great prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:14. But dear brethren, in appreciation of the fact that we have been so greatly blessed by His grace, by His great favor, should stir us to great zeal for the Lord, for the precious truth, and for the brethren, and in showing forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And it should produce in us a burning desire to tell everyone of the wonderful and loving Heavenly Father that is ours, to tell about His great character, that He truly is a God of wisdom, justice, love, and power, and tell about the kingdom so near at hand with all the promised blessings for mankind, His wonderful plan through Christ for the redemption, the salvation, and the blessings of all the families of the earth. Genesis 28:14. And now with so much trouble in the world, and when men's hearts are really failing them for fear and for looking after the things coming upon the earth, when many can see a great time of trouble brewing, they don't know why, they don't know how, it is our privilege to tell them of the wonderful blessings to follow. Tell them of the time when, as the prophet foretold, there shall be no more wars, when they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and when nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Isaiah 2:4 and Micah 4:3. And when the desire, yes, the real desire of all nations shall come, Haggai 2:7, and all the other wonderful blessings of the kingdom, the promised resurrection of the dead, when, as Jesus promised, all in their graves shall hear the voice of the Son of Man and shall come forth, and to a resurrection, when all the willing and obedient will be privy to go up the great symbolic highway of holiness to human perfection and to life everlasting with perfect peace and happiness forever. What a message we have for the world. And what a great privilege is ours to thus witness to God's great love. And even now, to some, these promises will be tidings of great joy. And eventually the good news of God's promised blessings will be tidings of great joy to all people, just as the angel of the Lord proclaimed to the shepherds on that glorious night of the Savior's birth. Yes, as one of our hymns so beautifully expresses it, it is our blessed privilege to tell the whole world these blessed tidings. Speak of a time of rest that near, to tell the oppressed of every nation that jubilee lasts 1,000 years. And certainly a knowledge of these precious promises and the great privilege of telling them to others is cause for gratitude. And isn't it wonderful, dear brethren, that we, by the Father's abounding grace, are so blessed as to be part of the people that know the joyful sound and to realize, as the psalmist so beautifully expresses, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Yes. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Moffat's translation of this is also beautiful, very beautiful. It reads, who live within the sunshine of thy favor. Isn't that wonderful? To be able to live in the sunshine of God's favor. And we are, as you know. And dear brethren, that is certainly a blessing and a great cause for our gratitude. Those faithful and humble Israelites, indeed, at our Lord's first advent, were accounted worthy to see and to hear and to understand and appreciate some of the great mysteries of the kingdom. And after Jesus had told them, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear, I mean that for us also, to impress them and us too with that great blessedness, Jesus added in the very next verse, verse 17 of Matthew 13th chapter, for verily I say unto you that many prophets, God's holy prophets, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. They were living prior to the gospel age, prior to the due time for these things to be known. Well, how blessed we are to know them, to see and hear these wonderful things of God's word, and what cause for gratitude is this. And just think, dear brethren, these things have been revealed to us. Things the Apostle Peter tells us, that things even the angels desire to look into. Surely this is cause for gratitude. And the Apostle Paul, writing of the experiences of the nation of Israel, God's typical people, tells us that all those things happened to them for examples, or types, as the margin says, or pictures for us. And he continues that they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages are come. 1 Corinthians 10:11. And just think of that. Think of the care and the interest God has manifested toward this little flock class, that they might have a better understanding of his great plan and purpose, and of his will toward them, toward us, for our benefit, living down at this end of the age. Surely this, too, is cause for gratitude. It is possible that some of us, after enjoying the light of present truth for a time, fail to realize just how dense is the darkness in the world today, and how great is the blindness among the learned leaders of Christendom. You'll recall that Jesus referred to their counterpart in his day as the blind leaders of the blind, Matthew 15:14. And in this, our day, when the truth has been so widely disseminated, we would wonder how such blindness could still exist if we had not been informed by the apostle that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And too, the apostle Peter says in 2 Peter 3:5, that some are willingly ignorant. I could give you some good examples. I might do that in a way. I attended a funeral a month or two ago, an acquaintance, and after the funeral, the minister went down and got in the limousine of the funeral director, and he was waiting until everyone wanted left. So I went to the window, and he opened it, and I said, "I just want to commend you on some of the things you said in your talk." And there were some things that I could commend, and that gave me an introduction to him. And then we got to talking about God's plan and the wonderful things God had promised. And I mentioned the times of restitution. He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, things that were lost through Adam's fall is going to be restored to mankind." And I went on telling him something of the wonderful things of the times of restitution. The blind eyes will be opened, the ransom shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy and so forth. He said, "I don't believe it." I said, "Well, brother, the Apostle Peter tells us in Acts, the 3rd chapter, the 19th to 21st verses," and I said, "he not only speaks of the times of restitution, but he says, God hath spoken this through the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." His reply amazed me. He said, "I don't care who said it, I don't believe it." Think of that, dear brother. Think of it. That's being willingly ignorant. Another occasion, I attended a funeral service, an acquaintance of the family, and I listened to the minister. And he said the man had not been a Christian, never claimed to be a Christian, but that he loved to go hunting and fishing, and he took his fellow man with him. And because he loved his fellow man, God loved him and had taken him to heaven to be with him. Think of it. And he turned, "as much as God has said, thou shalt surely die as a penalty for sin." And we're told by others of God's prophets, "living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything." He turned to the casket and said, "Our friend is not dead. I don't believe in death." Just think of the blindness here, brethren. Well, seeing this blindness all about us should make us those whose eyes have been anointed to see and whose ears have been anointed to hear all the more appreciative of the grace that has been extended to us. I don't tell these things. I didn't mention that as to condemn them. That's not in our promise. But to illustrate the contrast between the blindness of the world today and the light of present truth, the light that we have been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. And seeing this, contrasting that darkness to the light that we now have, surely is cause for gratitude. And too, we greatly rejoice in the promise that in God's due time, the darkness will be dispelled. The blind eyes will be opened, the deaf ears will be unstopped. Isaiah 29:18 and Isaiah 35:5 makes that very plain. Yes, the prophet Isaiah tells us that then the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11:9. And to Satan shall be bound that he shall deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years be fulfilled. Revelation 20:3. And our hearts are made glad by the promised blessings for the whole world, yes, for all the families of the earth. And when, as the prophet Isaiah says, sorrow and sighing shall flee away, Isaiah 35:10, and that agrees with the statement of Revelation 21:4, when God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, nor any more pain, for these things all pass away. And when the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, Numbers 14:21. And surely we rejoice greatly in the wonderful promises to the faithful followers of Jesus. The promise of great reward for our faithfulness till death. The Apostle Peter describes the reward as a crown of glory that fadeth not away. 1 Peter 5:4. And again in 1 Peter 1:4 he says, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. And we are surely grateful, dear brethren, for the words of our glorified Lord and Head, who said, be thou faithful till death, and I will give you the crown of life, the very highest form of life, yes, the divine nature, as the Apostle Peter tells us. And not only have these wonderful promises of high reward been made to us, but our Heavenly Father has promised to assist us in attaining unto this heavenly inheritance and joint heirship with our Redeemer. And that is surely a cause for our gratitude. All of God's promises are great and precious, but the Apostle Peter refers to these promises of assistance as exceeding great and precious. And surely they are exceeding great and precious, dear brethren, because they are plainly expressions of God's love for us, for you and for me, for all those who have made a covenant with him by sacrifice, who have dedicated themselves to do the Lord's will. And all such become the special objects of God's grace.